Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf, and today once again I have the pleasure of speaking with Steve Weissman, the principal analyst at the Holly Group, which is a consulting firm specializing in content, process, and information management. In this Q&A, we're going to be covering basically one of the hottest topics right now in BPM, and that's mobile BPM. So first of all, Steve, thanks so much for joining me once again on a podcast.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. I really enjoy it.
So in a recent quote from Forrester's Alan Weintraub, he describes the future as a work-anywhere future, which will be a world in which work is something you do, not a place you go, pretty much the essence of mobile. So how do you think BPM will have to adapt to this future?
Well, it's first and foremost, as we've talked about before, it's the people more than the technology that has to do the adapting. The good news and perhaps the bad news of it, both, is that that's happening. Every new graduate from college, every new middle schooler moving up, you know, there is this generational effect by which these folk, they're already used to thinking this way. They live and die by their smartphone and their tablet and think nothing about doing whatever they need to do from wherever they are. Obviously, from a kid's standpoint, it's the latest game, you know, playing Angry Birds or something over a buddy's house. But as they enter the workforce, that same mentality comes with them. And so organizations looking at BPM, especially as I do, as a business practice rather than a technology stack, really have to begin taking that into account in a very serious way. From the technology side, for me, what it means is needs to be a lot more intersection with more collaborative tools than perhaps BPM kits have provided historically. That it's no longer just take this, do that, do the other thing, and we're all done, because there may well be discussion points along the way. You know, yes, the rote approvals and the, you know, that's all still part of it. But as the workforce becomes more comfortable and more accustomed and more habitual about working with other people, you know, BPM's going to have to get a little fuzzier around the edges than it may already be in terms of what it communicates with. And from a process design standpoint, you then have to really begin thinking about, well, how long do you want these discussions to run? And who's going to moderate them? And security and protections of, you know, of collaborative software in a much more mainstream way in BPM than maybe it has been. That was sort of long-winded, but does that make sense?
Certainly. Now, it sounds like a series of challenges, so you've touched on it, but what are some of the biggest challenges for BPM in dealing with mobile BPM?
Well, you know, again, I'll come back to, I guess, what's my answer du jour, which is the psychology of it. Taking a half step to the side, maybe, you know, what BPM is particularly good at, it's not just managing processes internally, but linking in people and processes externally as well. The complicating factor here is now you're talking about people and access devices that aren't tethered, and they may be popping up in all kinds of different places. So, you know, the psychology changes a bit too. It can be sort of fun. You know, even this podcast that you and I are doing, it doesn't really much matter where either of us is at the time we set it up or the time we're even doing the podcast. And I kind of like to think about, well, where are all these people far flung around the globe? But there are security aspects to that, which not sidetrack the question too terribly much, but psychologically, corporate culture, you have to start thinking about us rather than them, you know, because you may be embracing people more easily now than you used to be able to. They're not behind firewalls the way they used to be. And as businesses become more collaborative over time, you know, we used to talk about coopetition, where there were cases where you might need to cooperate with people that you might view as competitors. I think that's all changing too. There are so many moving parts now that I don't know that organizations can afford to take the hard line that they might have taken in the past about this is what we do and that's what you do and that's the end of it. there's so much more information available. There's so much more, if you will, uncontrolled, certainly ungoverned interaction between all kinds of feet on the street, where your salespeople might never have run into a competitor's sales force, except perhaps by accident, thanks to things like, you know, Twitter and Facebook and any number of tools. Certainly customers don't view the us versus them the way they used to. There's all kinds of choices, and the processes that you put in place really have to accommodate that. So you change your viewpoint towards that and just acknowledge reality as it is. It's the wild, wild west. And while we still need to be able to define and control and manage processes in the way we always have, you know, again, the best analogy I can think of is it begins to fray around the edges a little bit. You can't just build the wall and say we're done because there are encroachments coming from new directions every single day. Again, I'm kind of running on because I get really into all this stuff. So stop me if you've heard this one or if I've lost the point completely.
That's fine. Now, okay, well, now to the point, if you could boil this all down into one key, one essence, like one takeaway to even this podcast, what would you say is the absolute key of doing BPM Mobile right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And I just put it on the shelf there for a second. So if we come at it from the realm of security, you know, the mobile question is greatly complicated by the fact that there is no such thing as, quote-unquote, the mobile. You know, you have lots of different kinds of devices, and you have to figure out a way to support those devices and secure them. And, you know, it's not just a function of, oh, it's Android versus iPhone versus whatever all else, or iPad versus Nexus versus who knows what else. Because within each of those product lines, first of all, you have different models. Second of all, even within those product lines, you're running different operating systems. Being able to put your arms around those and integrate them and their users into some kind of a business process by itself is complicated. Making sure the software is updated, making sure the security holes are closed, making sure that you've got some kind of an authentication system in place. So part B is there are multiple points of potential security failure there too, starting with the device. They get lost, they get forgotten, they get stepped on. You know, mechanisms to secure the information they may contain in the event of loss, that's one thing. Mechanisms, as I say, to ensure the authentication of the user and the identification of the user, that's another. The third is the fact that most mobile users are connected to the back office by networks that the back office doesn't control, because most typically it's the cell phone carrier. But you begin establishing a tunnel, that certainly works, that's certainly within reach, but it's more overhead. And then we're back to my original problem, which is making sure that the devices that are being used are properly equipped to do that. And we haven't even talked about now securing and protecting the actual information that's being moved by this process, which isn't a new issue, but it takes on new depth when you start thinking about the client device, again, that can be anywhere, connecting from any place, that may be connecting it over an insecure line. There are a lot of moving parts here that go way beyond the simple appropriate, well, let's not say simple, that go beyond the appropriate mapping out of your process. You know, that's one thing. This is a whole layer that's much deeper than it used to be, just because these are devices that, by definition, have feet and roam around.
Indeed. Now, and you've also kind of touched on this in this great overview. Now, drilling down on, like, mistakes and pitfalls, what are some of the most obvious and clear ones that companies need to avoid basically right off the bat with mobile BPM?
Well, if I had to wrap it all up in a neat package, I'd probably put on the card, you know, attached to the package, the word governance. Who's responsible? Who owns this process? Who's responsible for maintaining and securing the devices? Who's responsible for the policies governing access and participation in the process? you know, governance as a word covers all kinds of things, but it's when those things aren't adequately addressed, I find that a lot of applications don't work as effectively or satisfactorily as you might wish. It rarely is a technology problem. I mean, mobile devices, they break, okay? So, yes, unlike perhaps a server that could last 10 years, hardware does and can fail. But by and large, the reason a process will not succeed has nothing to do with that. You know, it's unlikely that the software crashes so often that it becomes an issue. No, the real pitfalls to watch out for are the human-centered ones, which I guess is kind of why I started this conversation there. It's the governance, ultimately, of the people and this new class of user that you can't just go to their cubicle and bang on their forehead and say, don't do that anymore. You know, these chickens are roaming freely throughout the range, and you've got to figure out a way to imprint them properly so that this works the way you need it to work and doesn't invite the entire world into it.
Very interesting. Now, let's bring this into the real world then. Like, so in your experience, what have you come across like a real world example of a company successfully doing mobile BPM?
Well, there are lots. There's an example I want to give that I'm going to draw on intentionally because it's probably not what you're thinking. And there's a couple of reasons for that, starting with the fact that the real good ones I probably shouldn't talk about because I promised I wouldn't, because it's real competitive advantage when you do this right? But I think this one's an important one because it's potentially much more universal. Specifically, when we think of mobile processes and mobile devices and mobile users, at least this is true for me, what pops into my head is a scenario that involves salespeople or insurance agents or business executives running all over creation with a smartphone or a tablet or something, connected, getting what they need. You know, maybe they have a corporate app installed. Maybe it's a web-based application that they can get at through some kind of an interface on their device. You know, all these fancy things that we keep talking about. But I saw one and participated in one recently that's brilliant in its simplicity. It's wholly mobile, and it involves none of that. What it involves is texting. And the tools that are available now, some of them very low cost, if not free, for small groups, the ability to, for instance, take polls or do research and capture basic information by texting your responses to a particular number at a website or perhaps on, you know, internally, where the back end counts up the votes and allows you to do the analysis that you need to do. So imagine in a corporate setting where you're dealing with people that may not be either the most technically savvy or you may not have the budget, or you do have this problem with so many different platforms, you can't begin to think about how to embrace them. If it's the kind of exercise as often occurs when you're mapping out a business process, where you're really just asking a bunch of questions, or maybe it's a survey and you've got a fixed number of choices of responses, you can use text for that. Most everybody who has a mobile phone has text these days. Where it's not true that most everybody who has a mobile phone has a smartphone. That's a really big difference that I myself didn't fully appreciate until recently. I was at a meeting where the technology got used, and I thought, you know what? This is very smart. It's a low common denominator, to be sure. You're not going to do the fanciest things with this kind of technology because of the inherent limitations. But if you're just looking to capture some basic information, or you're doing some kind of research in the field where there's not much of an infrastructure, or it's a very consumer kind of oriented activity, like my baseball life when I would conduct fan research for minor league baseball teams, texting in the answers is probably just fine. So it's low tech, but it's wholly mobile. that's why I was really captivated by it, because it works. And it's
sort of
very low cost.
And it gets back to your point, it's not like a device issue, it's a person issue. So inevitably, it is a person issue, and that's a way to get everybody involved, too. So excellent information, Steve. This is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf speaking with Steve Weissman, the principal analyst at the Holly Group. Thank you so much for such excellent information, Steve.
Thank you.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.